You know what? We live in a world that's very contrary to Christianity. There's I told you this here a while back. The Bible says the God of this age, of this world. Who is the God of this age or this world?
Satan.
This is this world right now. Jesus Christ came here to redeem the creation. Somebody quote John 3:16 for me.
So that's the love of God that gave his only begotten Son, who should believe in you, shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Okay, so God so loved mankind. What's it say? The world, the cosmos, the whole order of things. Jesus Christ did not die just for us. He died for the whole creation. And Romans says that the whole creation groans for the redemption. And the word redemption means to buy back off of the slave block. Buy back off the block. Now you're sold out. Now, God in his plan put Lucifer over the whole material creation of the universe. Okay? We know that. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. We see that God put him over. He was the most beautiful being that was ever created. Perfect, it says, in every way. Perfect and beauty. And we always have people drawing pictures of Satan as a little old weird-looking dude with horns on his head and red and a tail and a pitchfork in his hand. That would be really nice if that was Satan, because we could identify him real quick. He would be easily identified. Now, we live in this world. God told us to live in this world, but not of it. He told us to be strangers like Abraham was a stranger. Now, this is so much like our journey through life. Abraham lived in one of the most populous. He lived in the cradle, where the cradle of humanity was. Where is that? The Ur of the Chaldees. And what area is that? In geography, what is it called? Mesopotamia. What does Mesopotamia mean? The land between the rivers. The land between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. The Fertile Crescent is what we call it. Okay? Where the Persian Gulf is. That's where we're having this problem over there right now. You know?
That's where all the oil is.
Yeah, where all the oil is. God, that's the birthplace of humanity. It's going to be the burial place, too.
Even evolutionary scientists believe the exact same thing, that that's the cradle of humanity.
Well, that's where God said that he created man and put man on this earth. That's where it was. I'm glad that the scientists agree with the Bible. The Bible can be true whether they did or not.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any difference, would it?
They don't want to believe God's living there.
God put mankind there. Now, Lucifer rebelled against God, didn't he?
Look on your little chart here. See the chart that you have up here, you see Satan's path. It says Satan's path, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, and Ezekiel 28 also, if you want to put that up there. And you see this wiggly blue line on this chart. It shows his time through the ages. Well, he rebelled against God. God placed him in a high place of worship, and leading out of worship of God. Now, did God, when he created Lucifer, did God know that Lucifer was going to rebel?
Yes.
Before he ever created him?
Yes.
He did, didn't he? Because if God did not know that, then he wouldn't be God, would he? What are the three attributes of God?
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent means what?
Always present.
He's present everywhere. Okay, and then what's the other one?
Omniscient.
Omniscient. What does omniscient mean? All knowing. And what is the last one, which we have a hard time of comprehending this and interpreting this today? What is it?
Omnipotent.
And what does omnipotent mean? All powerful. He's all powerful. But God has laid down some rules. I'm not erasing you, Tony. Not really. God has laid down rules. Now, who are these rules for?
Everyone.
God too. God has to follow his rules too. Did you know that?
He didn't. He'd be an hypocrite.
Right. Well, God laid down some rules. And he said, all of his creation, the omniscient creation that he has created, the thinking beings that he has created, have a sovereign will. We look at the word sovereign, and we hear it so much today in a hyper-Calvinistic age. John MacArthur has really made hyper-Calvinism in this day very, very cliche. It's neat to be a hyper-Calvinist today. All right? Sovereign means what? What does it mean?
The ability to do whatever you want.
The right to do what you want to do. All right? God is sovereign. God does what he wants to do, doesn't he? But he does it within his rules. God lays down rules for all the creation and for himself. Now this is, we're going to come back to this prayer thing. Okay? That's where we're going a long way around so we can understand this deal. Okay? God created man sovereign like him. And he created the angels, believe it or not, they had a sovereign will. All the angels and demonia also. What's a demonia?
Demons.
I think that there's a difference between angels and demons. Angels have a form, so to speak. But demons seek form. They seek something to dwell in it. A form.
Part of their vessels. Their curse and part of their punishment.
There's a lot about the Bible I don't know, believe it or not. All I'm doing is just I'm just throwing some things out that I study. Revelation through Genesis and everything in between and all the little nooks and crannies in there. I don't know a whole lot about demons. Except demons, I believe, are different than angels. I really believe they are. I think angels are a form and they're servants of God, but demons are spirits. They're powerful spirits. The word daemonia, it means little god. And what does a little god mean? God is what? What's the attribute? Omniscient.
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent. And omnipowerful. Demons are old beings, aren't they? They haven't died and gone to heaven. They have a lifetime that is unlimited from the creation. And by the way, from the time you're conceived in your mother's womb, you are eternal from that point on. You will never die. The body might die, but your spirit and your mind, your soul will never cease to exist. It is eternal from that point. Time always goes on forever. Yes.
What about the angels that fell?
We're going to go there. Yeah. But mankind, we come. Bill, when were you born? Is that all right if I ask you that?
48.
Now, 9 months before this is when Bill began. The nucleus of Bill, the person, began. God knew him in eternity past. The Bible says he wrote his name in the Lamb's Book of Life in eternity past. And why did God do that? Because he knew what Bill's sovereign will would do with him in time and space. In time and space, Bill, that's when you began 9 months earlier than this. You popped out into the world at this time right here. But you began 9 months earlier. You had a beginning. The Bible says that Adam, in Adam, in the original language in Hebrew, it said, God breathed into Ha'avam, the Adam, the breathings of lives. Breathings, not the breath of life. That's a bad translation. It's the breathings of lives. In Adam, every one of us had our beginning existence. Our life was there. Not only is our life there, but our death is there. what Adam sinned, also we inherit the death that separated him from God, and that we inherit from Adam, our father. Okay? Angels and demons. Back here in eternity past. How long ago that is, I do not know. Eternity future. Eternity past, God created angels. And He created angels and He gave them a sovereign will. A choice. That's what sovereign will means, choice. Hyper-Calvinists would like to lead you to believe that you do not have a choice. That it's all programmed. But I'm going to tell you something. If we were programmed, God could get no glory out of it at all. Because a man is capable of building a little robot that could follow you around everywhere you are in the daytime. This is possible. And say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But you know something? That would mean nothing, would it? Because you were programmed. That you programmed that thing to say, I love you. But how do you get someone to love you
their own volition.
Out of their own volition, their own choice? You can spend your whole life trying to find somebody that loves you. You can give people, do favors for people. You can buy them all kinds of things in the world, and you can try to get them to love you. But all of a sudden, up pops somebody one of these days that's going to love you by their own volition, their own sovereign will. And you want something? That's a real gift. That's a gift from God. Because God has chosen you in Himself. He has foreordained Jesus Christ to come into the world in time and space and die for you. Some people would look at that gift and say, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. He died 2,000 years ago and He means nothing to my life today. What I want is what I can get and have in my hand and hold right now this day.
In the satanic realm, there's no such thing as love.
You know, Satan is not capable of love, is he? I'm going to tell you something else. Lost people in this world are really not capable of true agape or agapeo love. They're not capable of that. We only inherit that love when we receive a new nature at the point of being born again. Just like you're born, there's a time in your life that you're born again. Okay? The Bible speaks of man being born again to God and man being born again to sin. So now, the book of Revelation tells us a lot about that. That once you take the mark, you're His. You're born of Satan during the tribulation period. You're born of Satan. There's no way to get unborn. Once you're born, Brother Bill, when you were born into this world, I don't care if your parents would have adopted you out, your mother and father would have been the same people. Because you can't get unborn. You can't go back. In the same way when you're born again. It's impossible to be unborn when you're born again. It's a physical fact. Now, Nicodemus was a what? What does his name mean? Mobbuster. Okay? A crowd buster, a mob buster. That's what his name means. If he was a teacher, he was a master teacher of Israel, and Jesus said unto him, you must be born again. And he said, I don't know what I'm talking about. He lied. He knew what being born again was. He just didn't comprehend what Jesus was talking about. There was a term of the new birth back then. The new birth was when a proselyte became a Jew and he was born again. He was shaved from head to toe like a little baby comes in this world naked. And he was baptized and died to his old nation and rose again to a new nation, which was Israel. He became a proselyte. I don't know how many times that Nicodemus had done that. There's no telling. But I'm sure he was he proselyted Gentiles. And that happened. So he should have known what that was. Okay? Let's go back now in eternity past when these angels and demons made a choice. they have served God for some amount of time. Maybe a million years, maybe 10 trillion years. I don't know how long. Maybe after God created them, and 3 days later, maybe one third of them rebelled. I don't know how long that period of time was. But God had a whole material creation at that time, that Satan, and there's three groups of angelic forms. There's only one spoken of as an archangel in the Bible. Who's that?
Michael.
But when we infer, what does infer mean? We guess, or we assume, that there are two other archangels. One of them, Satan, or Lucifer. Lucifer means what? Light carrier. Okay. They used to have matches called Lucifer matches a long time ago. Struck them, they were really bright. And they were extra big matches. And then there's who else? Gabriel. Now, the Bible does not say that Gabriel and Lucifer were archangels, but we infer that they were head angels. The word archangel means boss angel. That's a head angel. Arch. Boss or head angel. The word Archibald, that's the same word that we get the word archangel from. Did you know that? Head dude. All right. Well, these archangels, these three archangels have different realms. Michael was over the spiritual realm of God. Spiritual realm. And evidently, from what we understand and infer from the Bible again, that is the most, those are the most powerful angels of all. Okay? Then we have Gabriel. Gabriel. What realm was Gabriel's bunch over? Gabriel, his bunch over. Messenger. That's the true form of the word angelos. That's the Greek word angelos is. And it means messenger. Okay? Messenger or servant. Servant, messenger. And then we have Lucifer over the material creation of God. He was the steward or the administrator over God's physical kingdom of the whole universe. All right? I'm going to tell you how much you've got coming, why you need to learn God's Word and study His Word. Because in the future, if you do God's will in this life, you're going to be over the whole universe that Satan was over. All right? You better be learned to be good administrators. All right, Brother Levine.
I also mentioned in the Revelations the two other fallen angels. Book of Revelations here in
Apollyon?
Apollyon.
Well, see, that's all Satan. Mm-hmm. Those are all. That's all Satan. It gives us different names. Apollyon, it means the destroyer. And the word Satan, and the Bible calls Satan the destroyer and the murderer from the beginning and all of this. We see this. Well, angels don't die. Your spirit, once you're born, does not die ever. Angels will never cease to be. God created these Lucifer to be over the material creation of God. Well, Lucifer and a third of the angels. Now, I don't say that all of Lucifer's angels went with him. Some of Michael's could have gone with him. And some of Gabriel's could have gone with him. But the Bible speaks of one third of them being drawn away. So we know that one third of these angels went with Satan also and rebelled. Probably inferring, inference, guessing, whatever you want to call it. Probably the most powerful and the most dangerous of those angels that rebelled against God were from Michael's realm. And there are a certain amount of these dangerous, powerful angels that are kept in a bottomless pit, the abyss. The word abyss, it comes from abysson in Greek. What does abysson mean, Brother Kim?
No bottom.
No bottom. No bottom. That's what it means, the bottomless pit. They are chained up in this no bottomless place. The scientists tell us today, they look out in space and they say there are black holes out there. And even Walt Disney made a movie called Black Hole. That where matter is concentrated so much that, and it is sucked in light and it is dark there. You know what? I think that's a bottomless pit. Now, to me, that would be like a bottomless pit. All right? I know it exists because God says it exists. And I don't think we're ever going to go out there and do anything about it. But God's going to put some there. He's going to deposit some in file 13.
He says the bottomless pit. That's a definite article.
Yeah.
And it's there.
It's there. It is one. It is the bottomless pit. Okay? And we know that place exists because the Bible says it. If we never discovered the thing out there, I would still know that it exists. Because God said it exists. Okay? And God doesn't lie. The Bible says God cannot lie. Okay? Now let's go on. So these angels rebelled. How many and from what realms and everything they rebelled? God brought up a replacement for Satan. Satan, by the way, means the opposer. The one who stands against and opposes. Alright? Now, who was Satan's replacement? Somebody's going to have to tell me what time it is. What time is it?
7 minutes before you have to take off. It's 9:53.
9:53. Yeah, this chronometer quit this morning for some reason. This is a Longines chronometer. Not a Rolex.
One of the basic differences between demons and angels would have to be that, like you said, demons have to inhabit an existing being.
Yes, a body.
An animal or a human. Because, it's some of the communications they have with them, and they said, how do you come into a person? They said, first we must have a willing vessel.
That's right.
We have, and it's just almost the same way with us. We have to invite Jesus into our hearts. We have to be willing there.
Uh-huh.
But with the angels, when they come and they minister to us and bring us messages, like they did Abraham, and who knows how many times we've been assisted in this.
And protected.
And protected by angels.
Everybody goes to seed on some of these truths in the Bible. You know, they got the story on the guardian angels and everything today, all of that. People go to seed on that and just go too far with almost all of it. Same thing with the prayer business that we're talking about. Let's get on down so we can get back and answer your question, Buster. Now we exist. God placed man over the garden, over the earth, and over the universe. Jesus, in his pre-incarnate form, walked with Adam and told him about all the universe. He showed him the stars. That's how these people figured out where the stars were. God showed Adam where they were. He knew all about it. He named everything in the biological kingdom and the material kingdom. He was the boss over all of it. Believe it or not, Adam, your forefather, was the boss over the universe. And then God put him to sleep, and he took from his sides, plural, he took from Ish, that means man, he took Ishah, which is woman, and that woman, and that word woman means out of man in Hebrew, also Ishah means out of man. He didn't took his, they take his rib from him. He took flesh, blood, and bone from him. He took from man, he took and made feminine man, they put it back together in marriage. They became one flesh again. Okay? And the woman was deceived by Lucifer. And Lucifer, when he deceived the woman, took the form of a Nahash. What was that?
Serpent.
The serpent. Nahash. That's the Hebrew word for that word serpent. And it means deceiving one. Alright? This serpent. By the way, before the days of Noah, animals didn't kill each other. They didn't eat each other. They were all vegetarians just like man was. Okay? And they communicated. Animals communicated with each other. When Noah went on the ark, he didn't have to separate those dudes to keep the lions from eating the lambs or anything like that. You see that so much? That didn't happen. It didn't happen until he turned them out. God changed their digestive systems and everything, and it became totally opposed and diverse from what it was before. And in the morning rain of God on the earth, all these animals are going to change back the way they were before the days of Noah. They're not going to eat each other anymore. We won't be eating them, they won't be eating us, and they won't be trying to eat each other. Okay? Things change when that snake, that Nahash, lent his body to Satan. He formed a volition. So guess what happened to the snake? God cursed the snake. You think God would curse an object that didn't have a will?
It wouldn't be fair.
It wouldn't be fair with. All right? So as you're going out here looking at the little animals and everything out there, I want you to know something. Those mean a lot to God. God said, not one sparrow falls to the ground that don't mean something to him. All right? They all mean something to God. And I'm not one of these tree-hugging guys and all this stuff. But there is something to everything. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's everything that has life in it. In the Indian word for Holy Spirit is skan taku skan skan. And what does it mean? The same thing is the word for the Hebrew. It means that which causes life in everything. A tree, a plant, a pumpkin has life in it that comes from God to make it live and grow. Even the bread you ate this morning had life in it at one time that came from God. In a laboratory, but scientists can make a grain of wheat, but they can't put the life in it. They can make all the composites of a grain of wheat, but they can't put life in that wheat to make it germinate. They can make a facsimile or a grain of rice or something. They can make it, but they can't put that life in it that God put in it. God placed man instead of Satan, and man sinned. Since that one time in this world, this has been the God of this age, of this time, is Satan. He has control because man gave it to Satan. And we live in this world where we're not supposed to live of it. A lot of things we ask for in prayer, I said this before and I don't want you to misunderstand me. We ask them this. What do we do a lot of times? God's not going to give us everything we want in life. We ask for homes and cars and things to travel and live in. The Lord says, pray in this manner. Who knows that Lord's prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. That it's food, and it's shelter and clothing, and it's protection from enemies. We can ask for some of that stuff and sit back and wait and see if it's God's will. We live in enemy territory. When Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he went from a beautiful palace to living in tents. And the only foundation that a tent has is a tent stake that you drive in the ground. And a lot of the sand out there where you drove that thing, you had to drive it 3 or 4 times to get a longer tent stake because the wind pulled it out. And Abraham said he was looking for a city whose foundation and builder was God. He never lived in it all his life. He sought and he lived in tents, a nomadic life, and people, that's where we are today. We're nomads. Yes, it's time to go. Time to go. I guess we're supposed to do. I don't know how long we're going to be gone.
It's going to be
10 minutes and walk back.
Okay, then we'll leave this, our stuff in your picture,
and walk back.
I wish it comes.
When do you want to start taking the motion?
Oh, well, whenever we can get.
I figure out what's going on.
I don't know. I think there's a server and things that's on there. I'll talk to Kevin and see what we have to do. I'm sure I'll have to sign a contract with him or something to take over the contract or something on the deal. I don't know what we have to do on that. But if you can do it, we can get it going. That would be great. I think it'll make some progress even tying in with this thing here. I think it's already tied in with this one. But I don't think at this time that you can even communicate with email or anything on it the way it is. I think it's just kind of locked up. It's out there, but it's not really working. That's a website that we have, discovertheword.com.
So I'll be receiving email orders and then pass them on to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'll try to do it. fill them out and whatever. Anyway, pray for that too, so we can get that done. And Kevin got married yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin's an old married man today. And let's, after I gained my breath here.
That's a good wake up call right there.
Yeah,
downstairs.
We were talking about the angels having a volition, and now we live in a world that today that is controlled by those evil forces. Now, God is going to take all this mess back over one of these days. But we're strangers in a foreign land today. And when you're strangers in a foreign land, how many of you ever been overseas anywhere in a foreign land? It's the same, is it? You're in a foreign land. The customs are different. You know what? The people even smell different.
The funny thing is that those American whites don't travel with us on the map of the world, like a lot of people think they should. Mm-hmm.
I went all over the Middle East in 1975 and 6, and it was something else. I was in for a cultural shock, and I got one. And I've never really been the same since then. Mm-hmm. Once you go into foreign lands like that, you learn a lot. When I went over there, I went with an expedition tour and archaeological tour, and I received four units of credit, 1 year's credit in archaeology by going over there. And I was the guy, so to speak, because I was the only one that could read Greek and Hebrew at that time in 1975. And so I got to read all the pillars and different things and the writings. And it was fantastic. I was very sick while I was over there. The dysentery got me and things, and it just liked to kill me. I lost 30 pounds. And, that was a fast, that's what you call a fast weight loss diet over there. But I enjoyed it, and I learned so much about God's Word by being in the land and seeing the things, seeing the culture. So they're living like they did 2,000 years ago. You don't have to go back and try to imagine what happened back then. Just go over there and wander around a little bit.
They still live in tents.
Those Bedouins out there are still living in those tents. You can see them with their camels and their sheep and their goats, and everything out there, living like they did in Jesus' time. You want to know what happened, just go over there. You know, if you want to risk your life.
I have a commentary, a big set of commentaries with pictures. And this was 100 years old commentary. Mm-hmm. And these pictures were made 100 years ago. And those people then were just living, as you say, as in Jesus' time.
Well, it's just as valid in some places. Now, there are cities there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, now 75, that's 27 years ago when I was there. That's a long time. Things have changed in the big cities. But even in the big cities, we have concrete pumps in here and everything else when you build these tall buildings. You know how they were getting concrete up there to build those big buildings over there? People were carrying them up in buckets and dumping them in the farms. Can't imagine that. But they're doing that still. Or were 1975, is it still doing it now, brother?
I didn't see much construction.
Well, you were in some areas that were very backward. You were in the Muslim areas. The Muslim areas, they don't want any of that. They want to live in a tent and just go on, just like Mohammed did. All right, we come into time. We live in the church age today. God had administration. Different people were administrators of his kingdom down through the ages. We had Noah, we had Adam. And by the way, God's kingdom didn't cease and go away, did it? Now, during the time that Noah was the administrator of God's kingdom on this earth, he built a big edifice, a big church house, gigantic one. Took him 120 years to build this thing. It floated.
The first floating church.
The first floating church. Ecclesia, one's called out. And God called out all the animals, and he called out the people that were to be in that edifice. Did you know that? First floating church. God gathered those people together and brought them through the flood. And the ones on the outside of it died. caught except the fish. That was it. And the sea animals, they didn't die. But all the land animals died. It was a curse. God cursed the earth because of what man and Satan had done and his influence. God has had to do that several times in history. God flooded the whole earth. What was another time that God just absolutely, completely did a global judgment? When God divided the earth and confounded the languages, that was a what we call a universal whole earth deal. It just didn't happen over there. I mean, today the scientists will tell you there was a flood. There was a flood over there in toward the Black Sea, because they said they can tell that, and there was a flood there. They said, we don't think it's universal, but there was a flood. Well, I got news for them, it was universal. The whole earth was covered with water, not just the Black Sea area and Europe and Asia Minor and Asia. It was the whole world that was flooded. Well, God made a universal judgment there. But all the time, down through the ages, God has always had administrators in his kingdom. And man has been administrator. And Noah had three sons. What were their names? Ham means what?
Dark.
Okay, what does Japheth mean?
Light.
Spreading. They spread out all over Europe. Those are the ones that went all over Europe. The Japhethite stock is the German stock and the English and all of that. If you want to learn where the races came from, study the genealogies, the family histories of where they went. Noah didn't even see those places, but he wrote it down by the inspiration of God. Noah wrote it down. He didn't go to England. He didn't go to all those islands around the Mediterranean or anything, but he wrote down where all these people came from. That's where they came from. That's the family histories of those people.
So him.
Understand these things. This, because they mean something. All of those names were very indicative of truths. Shem, the line of Shem, would be the people that carried forth the name of God. Now, during the time of the kingdom of Israel, God called out. In the days of what we call the Age of Promise, who did God call out of the earth of the Chaldees? In the Mesopotamia, the Fertile Crescent, who did he call out of there?
Abraham.
Abram was his name back then. God changed his name to Abraham. He changed his name from exalted father to a father of a multitude. All right? He was called High Father before, and now he's a father of a multitude. He called him out, and he was God's administrator in his kingdom. Was he perfect?
No.
Every administrator in God's kingdom had to be replaced, except for one.
Jesus Christ.
Not Jesus Christ. One was God. One, the church, is the only administrator of God's kingdom that will not be replaced because it fails. And the only reason why the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has not failed is because Jesus said it wouldn't, because I'll be with you. Mm-hmm. I won't let you fail. Mm-hmm. All right? I won't allow it. Israel came up out of the loins of Abraham. Israel failed God. God gave them a law. God followed that law, but Israel never kept the law. Never did that. Israel never kept the law. They failed God. Israel was a harlot. God said, he divorced her. She'll never be his bride again. Did you know that? Who's going to be the bride of God?
The
churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, not Israel. And you have to remember that Israel, Israel, and what we call the Ecclesia, or the Ecclesia. This Ecclesia there are two and separate. They're never used simultaneously in the Bible.
Israel was God's administrator in his kingdom during this period of time. When John the Baptist came preaching, Israel's job was over as the administrator. Who became the administrator of Christ's kingdom on earth at that time? The king. Who was the king?
Jesus.
Jesus took over his kingdom. But he said, it's not of this earth yet. It's not time yet. Jesus came to die then. To die, to live as a human being, because God was going to redeem man back on God's merits, not on man's merits. Your salvation is not from yourself or any part of you. It is from God. God is the perfecter of your salvation. God gives you the grace, the gift of repentance. God gives you the grace of faith. And you believe and you repent of your sins, but that has nothing to do with your salvation. Alright? Because that is a gift of God. Well, God called out his little administrator, his little church, during his ministry. And he said to that church, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. He told him, he said, he looked at Peter, he said, Peter, you're a little stone. Matthew 16:18. But upon this giant foundation rock, himself, Jesus, the being the foundation rock, I shall be building my church, my once called out, my administrator, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. And he said later on, he said, lo, you go out into the world, or as you're having gone out into the world, literally is what it says, having gone out into the world, make disciples. Habitual learners. And then what do you do with those disciples? Dip them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'll be with you unto the end of the age. What age?
Church
age. Almost every cult says that the church died out. Almost all books in on Christendom said the church died out in the dark ages. Hogwash. From the time that Jesus Christ founded his churches, or his church that became many churches, that church has existed down through the ages and is here in the world today. It was persecuted heavily. A Catholic church was persecuting the true New Testament churches. The cults have persecuted the true New Testament churches. And Islam today is persecuting true New Testament churches wherever they go in the world. It's illegal. But that church will be here to meet the Lord when he comes back for us. And then he's going to dump out hell on earth for 7 years. Hell on earth for 7 years. So what do we pray for today?
God's will.
We pray for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Living in this pig pen ought to make us want to go up. To leave it. The best as it is. You know, I'm thankful for the home that I live in. And for the roof over my head, and for the food that I eat, and everything. But it's temporal. And I preached this, and my daughter heard me preaching the other night, and she's been so beat up by her mother, not Marilyn, but her birth mother, that she has no foundation or security in this world. And she came up to me after she was here on some Wednesday night or Sunday night or something, and she said, Daddy, is Jesus going to burn my house up and do away with it when he creates a new heaven and a new earth? And I said, yes. She said, Daddy, can you tell him not to burn our house up? I want him to take it right to heaven just like it is. My horses and the pens and everything with all of my little animals. I want my world there. And I said, Dakota, Jesus is going to make it okay.
my wife loves me tremendously, and I sure do appreciate that. And she says, where are we going to be in eternity? And I said, well, I don't know what place I'm going to play over there. That's that coming to the judgment. Will we be together? I said, I don't know whether we're going to be together or not. She said, I won't be able to stand it if I'm not with you. And then I told her, I said, you know what? You won't leave me. You're going to have Jesus. You're going to have Jesus.
Whatever it is, it's better than our minds can imagine.
Yeah. You're going to have Jesus. You're going to have Jesus. Things are going to be so much different there than they are here. Our loves and our hates here are going to be left here. Behind. Over there, it's going to be, we're going to be different. We're going to be made different. We're going to be changed. We're going to be like, I mean, who are you? Anybody watch Star Trek? Mm-hmm. Now, remember when they took you and changed you from one place to the other in the transporter? We're going to be transported, and every cell in our being is going to be changed. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. We won't miss anything. You won't miss me at all if you don't see me. it's good to be loved like that. It's good to love your children, your family, and things. But we're going to be with Jesus. Things are going to be different. Our hearts are going to change. Our loves are going to change. Over there. Well, I think we'll see each other. I think we'll, in all eternity, I'm sure we'll hobnob over there for millions of years together. Different places.
Get together for your soup.
Yeah. You won't need a Mexican tortilla soup over there. That stuff's really good. If you want to taste some of that this side of there, or this side of my house, you can go over there to the El Paso Mexican restaurant in Santa Barbara, and that's the closest stuff to what I make that there is. That's tortilla soup, but mine's better, I think. But it's the closest thing. You go into a Mexican restaurant around right here, and you may get anything. But sure won't be real tortilla soup. Thank you for coming today to the class. I hope that you. What in the world is it? Was that the coffee pot?
Perfect.
Can somebody look out the door and see what's happening out there? Oh boy, I'm supposed to turn you loose. Yeah, or not?
You know, Jim, we didn't
address
the Jabez problem.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few verses here.
Yeah, go ahead and read that for us, Mother.
Well, the only few verses where he's mentioned in the Bible is in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and it would not grieve me if God granted him that which he was requested.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the only thing...
That was God's will, wasn't it?
Yeah. What he asked for, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. But this is where the people with the prayer of Jabez, they're making a big deal on it, is praying. That the word bless is making me happy, and what made him happy was God's will, and it says that he might keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me, the evil would grieve him.
Well, he had to clean out the area.
Blessed, and it's what made him happy.
He had to clean out the area. God had told Israel to be separate. How can you live among it and be separate? What he asked God to do was to clean out that the barriers and make fences around his area so he would not be tempted with the evil that was around him. It's quite a book. It's quite a prayer. And I know a lot of people, but sometimes they go to seed on things. Praying and declaring and what's the word there? Praying and
name and claim
it. I've learned a lot about prayer with demons, but one of the things with my daughter, with all the horrible things that's happened to her and her birth mother, I've learned something in life. It's, I don't care whether you're right or wrong, whether it's truth or lies, it doesn't matter in this world, in this age. It doesn't make any difference. Sometimes I pray for God to glorify His name and take care of the situation. But it hasn't been His will to do that yet. That's really, you know, Satan is here, and we're dealing with these forces, and Satan watches after his, doesn't he? Why are we living in such a contrary world today? Why is it so contrary to us? Because it is not our world yet. When Jesus Christ comes and takes His place over, and He's going to dash it to pieces with the tribulation period, He's going to turn Satan loose on this earth, totally loose for 7 years. And it's going to be a bad place to live. It's going to be real bad. But what's coming on is a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and He's going to be reigning. At that period of time, for that 1,000 years that Jesus reigned, where's Satan going to be? Following his little path down through here. Where's Satan going to be?
He's going to be bound.
He's going to be bound in the bottomless pit. He'll have no influence on this world at all. God has taken it back over. There will be justice. There will not be half justice, partial justice. Justice will be blind, finally. You know? Really. We won't see the corruption that we see in the land today. Even in the name of God. We're there, but what is going to happen at the end of that 1,000-year reign? Satan's going to get released one last time. We're going to see it. You know that? We're going to see it from heaven. We're going to look down from heaven at our glorious mansions up there, and we're going to look down here, and we're going to see Satan loose one more time. People and the mankind that has not been influenced for 1,000 years by Satan, people are going to go and follow him when he comes on the scene. Don't understand that, do you? That's Adamic. People are going to be living in their Adamic bodies on this earth. And all of us that say, if I'd have been in Adam's shoes, I wouldn't have done what he did. We're going to be cruel, I think, because they're going to repeat. We're going to see a keep repeat right there. Right there. We're going to see a repetition of Adam's sin because of the Adamic nature that we have in us. Some real, some won't. But then Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire forever, and praise God, there will never be any more influence. We will be shut of that, dude. And all of humanity that belongs in the file 13 is going to go right there with him. And we will never be influenced or bothered by them again. You will never have one bad memory, Marilyn. You won't have another ache and pain, Libby. No more operations, brother. No more livers and whatever else you've had to have. Just forget it. No more. You'll have a brand new body. Your minds that are corrupted with sin today that we live in, there will be no more of that now. That's something worth looking forward to. Something worth looking forward to.
That's the difference in mortality and immortality.
Yeah. Mortal. That word, mortis. That means dying. Our world is dying. We talk about pollution today. Look at World War I and look at all the pollution that took place during that war. Look at all the pollution that took place in World War II in the oceans and things. Look at all the pollution that took place in Korea, the Korean War, and the Vietnamese War, And over there in the Middle East right now, we're polluting that place. They're sending things over here as anthrax and mail, and it's contaminated a lot of the post offices here in this country. Contaminated with disease. Corruption. God is going to burn all that we see here up. I don't want my little girl to hear that. He's going to burn everything up. Everything in this world is going to be purified. Like gold and silver is purified. How many of you ever melted gold? Brother Bill, you probably done did that before. You smelted gold and melt the gold, and you keep on melting gold and keep on taking off the dross until finally there's no dross to take off. And then it's called pure gold. The same way with silver. That's what God's going to do. There won't be one last itsy-bitsy piece of sin. No particle of sin in this world is going to be completely removed and put in hell fire. Forever. And all those eternal flames and fires there won't burn up that city. Because they will remain there in that file, in that furnace forever and ever.
It was amazing that Seventh-day Adventists couldn't hold with that chart at all. They just... The cults don't believe in that chart.
It just does away with them.
Because it doesn't pertain to them.
No. They're not here. They're not here. The cults won't believe it because it's not here. But if you study your Bible, how many of you have got a chart? Have you all got a chart?
I think I've got some extra charts.
Can you go in here? Do you know if you got an extra?
Okay.
I've got some of these charts. You can take them home and study the scriptures with these. You can have one apiece, personally. Study, anybody else need one? Some of you give them away all the time. I try to keep them.
It is a real good witnessing tool. But you, if you study that little chart,
if your biblical marbles aren't in a row, it's not going to go according to that chart. But if they are in a row, it will go according to that chart. The churches of the Lord did not die and revive in the Protestant Reformation or anything else. The Lord said that His churches will be here throughout the age, to the end of this age. It didn't end in 1100 AD or 1500, 1700. It was going to, it came when the Lord called His church out. He said, I'll be with you until the end of the age. And we're not there yet, because we're still here. We're all close, I think. Thank you for your attention today. Thank you, too, for coming and being with us today again today. Hope you come back again. Hope you're enjoying the study of God's Word. If you have some questions, bring them. And we'll study them. And we'll go back to the book of Exodus. Otherwise, I didn't even take it on film today because I knew we were going to have a dividing, but I didn't know it was going to be that short. I would have gone ahead and done it. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Brother Norm, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?